Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
A bit of a boo-boo from one of the airlines. They posted on their website a special for flights from Sydney for just $179 to Sydney.
Well, if you just like a flight.
Must be a really good in-flight meal.
Yeah, just sort of go around the block and come back.
Yeah.
Nice idea.
At least it was a website and you can just take that down. There's some stuff that you hit send on and there's no getting it back. You know that moment where you hit send on a text or an email and then suddenly go,
I've received a few of those.
Have you?
Mainly because Aaron, AARON, usually first in most people's phone books who have me in there.
Right.
Just alphabetically, of course. And it just, if you accidentally don't think too hard and just sort of hit send, it'll just pop me in and I'll get all sorts of interesting emails,
really?
Texts, phone calls. Wow.
Do you know, I've done one. Mm-hmm. I have done one of those. It was a while back now. My mum rang and she was saying, oh, last time we talked, you know, blah, 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 you mentioned blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I really had never talked to her about that.
Okay.
But I had talked to my dad about it not long before, and they divorced a long time ago, but still occasionally have a phone catch up about the kids.
Mm.
And so I figured dad had just been telling a couple of stories and I just did the old passive aggressive, oh, yeah, right, no, it's fine, thanks.
Yep.
And then got off the phone and texted Dad being all Sherlock Holmes about it and said, so, Dad, did you happen to mention to Mum about blah, blah? She was pretending that I told her it. And hit send.
Mm.
You know who I sent that message to, don't you?
To Mummy Dearest?
It was to Mummy Dearest. It's never been spoken of since. It's fine.
Well,
we're fine. But
a bit awkward, isn't it?
It was
really?
Pretty seriously awkward, so that'll teach me.
Oh, just it would be great if you had that undo option where it just sort of sat there for a little bit. I know Gmail does that, but you just sit there for a bit and you can just think, hang on a minute, hang on.
Do I really need to send that to them?
Yeah.
Is that who I'm meant to send that to? But have you done one? Have you hit send on something that's just gone completely to the wrong place? What if you wished you could hit the unsend button on?
Mm, love to hear from you on that. 1-300-40-2020 if you've sent them to me too. And I've found out a few people that were dating before they wanted to tell people. I found out, hey, hun, how you going? And it's like, oh.
Fine, thanks, sweetie.
Yeah. Ramzina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Helen and Aaron.
What do you got for us?
Well, we're in the middle of preparing some dismissed files for an employee so that we would employ, dismiss her.
Uh-oh.
And the general manager had asked me to prepare, like, some documentation and her employee file, so, you know, to substantiate the dismissal. And I sent it to her.
Oh, my goodness.
And I try to recall, but because everybody's now on Blackberries and iPhones, you can't recall. Everybody's downloading, you know, in meetings, in cars. And freakiest moment of my entire career.
No, so what happened?
Awful.
Did she give you a call?
Oh, well, yeah, he rang me and he said, where's that email? And I said, I sent it to you ages ago. And then he said, I haven't received it. So I went into my sent box and searched subject and it's gone to her. Oh, my gosh, I was avoiding her all week.
Oh, your stomach must have just dropped.
I was feeling sick. I mean, like, not only could I be, like, dismissed myself for that stupid mistake. It was just really awkward.
Oh, what a way to find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks, Ramzina.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. It's not as if you had to see that person around the office for too much longer.
No.
But recall, whenever you see a recall message come through, or I do in the inbox, I'd most definitely want to read that email now. Unfortunately, it makes me really want to read the one that wasn't meant to be sent. But anyway, that's just me.
Mm.
Karen's on the phone. G'day, Karen.
Hello, how are you going?
All right.
Well, Karen, have you sent something you wished you could press unsend on?
Yes, I have, yes. Very unfortunate.
What happened?
Well, I was organising my husband's birthday and I'd gone to just such an elaborate organisation. I had babysitters organised. I was heading out. I had someone coming over to pick my husband up, take him to the restaurant. And
all the big surprise.
It was huge, yes. It was quite a bit of work had gone into it. And I just sent a text to my uncle who was picking up my husband and just to confirm that he was still going to do that. And I said, don't say anything to Gary. He doesn't know anything about it. It's a big surprise. And I sent that to my husband.
Oh,
good.
No. What a much of a surprise after that.
No, it was a bit disappointing, but he appreciated the effort. But, yeah, it was a shame I didn't see it through.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was still a surprise. It was just an earlier surprise.
That's
Thanks, Karen.
No worries. Bye.
See you later. Yes, talking those moments where you wish you could just sort of click unsend or undo that email or text that you made. Yeah, wow. Peter, g'day, Peter.
Hello there.
Peter, what happened to you?
It was a couple of days after Valentine's Day. I was looking through my sent items and somehow the first message that got sent to the first person, so poor Adam, a tough bathroom renovator, you got this lovely romantic message that I just happened to send to my wife a few days earlier. I haven't spoken to him since for some reason.
Really? Hasn't been calling back trying to get the next contract with you. Never felt so appreciated.
Well, he must have done a great job in the bathroom. He must have really...
I don't know what he thought. I've been too frightened to find out.
Yeah. Oh, well, good on you, Peter. I guess you've learned a lesson and you double-check that two column now, I suppose.
Well, it was automatic because the first button, if it's in your pocket and actually gets pushed, it goes to message, outbox, send, first address. And that's what obviously had happened. I didn't even know it was going.
Wow.
I get a few of those as AA, so, yep, I understand, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See you later.
Thanks, Peter.
Got to lock the phone. That's the trick. Yes. You make sure you lock your phone if you're going to stick it in your pocket.
And his wife got paper cards every year from then on.
Yes. I must say, I cannot wait to purchase this latest burger that has hit the market.
What's on it?
Oh, well, see, if you're not a big fan of bread, bonus. There ain't no roll.
How do you have a burger without a roll?
Good question you ask. Good question. Instead of rolls...
just get a handful of beetroot and lettuce and a little bit of patty.
Hopefully, just open your hands and they just slop it in for you and just shove it to your face and away you go.
Great.
Well, inside...
Just sticky tape it to your thighs with a burger. That's probably all you need to do with it.
That's
why bother
easier.
Eating it?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. You could just do that. Now, instead of... let's get to the insides and then we'll get to the outer.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that would be good. Cheese in the middle?
Yep.
Bacon and sauce and I think that's probably it in the middle of it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's nothing too extreme so far.
What's holding it together? Two pieces of deep fried chicken. Yeah.
Suddenly Aaron's awake.
That's something else, isn't it? Calories, I think doing the math, you divide it by 4 for kilojoules, don't you, to get to calories?
About that, yep.
Because calories, kilojoules don't make a lot of sense to me, but calories seem to. 500 calories in this one burger. I think it's a third of your daily intake.
Ow.
And I think 1,500 calories is your good, rough, well, it depends. Of course, you'd have to follow it up with, chips and a drink as well, wouldn't you? But 22.3 grams of fat, and you can guess what kind of fat that probably is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the good for your stuff. I imagine the salt in that thing would be pretty special as well, but... Mm. Rosemary Stanson, Dr. Rosemary Stanson.
Yes.
Horrifying. It's the word she uses.
She hasn't slept for a week since she heard that thing went on the market.
Just has these dreams. She wakes up in the middle of the night just screaming and sweating.
Aaron.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Barry O'Farrell's first major challenges premiere has come out.
Please. What is it?
Well, I think it's come from Anna Bligh. She raised the bar a bit, it seems, for other premiers with her leadership during the flood crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like she might have raised the bar yet again. She's in the headlines today in a picture with a rock star. This isn't just your polite side-by-side happy snap. She's backstage at the Foo Fighters fundraiser gig for the Queensland Disaster Appeal. She's got both arms around Dave Grohl's waist. Mm. Their heads are touching. His arm is around her. She's got this big groupie grin on her face.
All right.
That's a pretty tough act to follow for Barry.
See, from what I've understood of our new premier so far, what I've seen, he seems like a modest guy. Is he just straight down the line? There's no kind of theatrics or anything.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wait to see what happens in question time again. But I'm not too sure I could see him in that kind of a pose. I could see him doing a nice, firm handshake.
Mm.
Greetings, Mr. Bono. How are you, sir?
The challenge is out there now. And, I'm not going to presume to tell him how to do his job.
Mm.
But Neil Diamond is in town at the moment.
You know what? I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of a duet too, Sweet Caroline.
Oh,
could you see that?
I can see it. Figures are coming out saying our power bills have gone up 64% in the last 5 years, that health services are up by a third and water more than 1.5 times what it was. And that's not even counting rent, food, transport and everything else as well. It's hurting individuals. And according to a report in the news this week, it's getting tough for the charities and community groups trying to help people navigate it as well. From Wesley Mission, Superintendent Keith Garner. Good morning, Keith. Are you seeing different people impacted by this?
Good morning. Look, we are. We're seeing more and more families that are turning to us, and people perhaps at one time that you would not have expected to have financial pressures or stress are certainly turning to us.
I'm concerned about this as well, because I'm wondering, does it go beyond budgeting? Is it just simply our average incomes just cannot afford the prices that we now have for fruit and veg and petrol and bills?
Well, certainly those bills you've just described, I mean, it isn't just a case of bananas are expensive. I think generally speaking, people are feeling the pressures that when they look at their weekly outgoings. And certainly it is true that we're mortgaged up to the hilt, you know, and many people have done that and come into it. But I do think that the ordinary bills, you see, petrol is not a luxury in any way, especially if you live just outside cities. When you're in regional Australia, a lot of people need a car because they can't get to work, they can't look for work, and all these things have skyrocketed, and at the same time wages have not, as far as they're concerned, and they still have to pay those figures. And we've been monitoring stress really over a number of years at Wesley Mission, and many households are struggling with electricity bills. 51% of people with financial stress are experiencing difficulties now, and that means 7 out of 10 people are expected to make some kind of sacrifices to meet their bills. Now that's a lot of people.
So what kind of assistance do you offer people when they come to you?
Well, we have financial counselling. Unfortunately, it becomes at this end of the stage sometimes. We offer financial counselling, first of all, to help people to manage their difficulties. Because one of the things that happens when people get themselves into a situation like this is they ignore it or they go too late for help. So we encourage people to contact folks like ourselves and many other agencies that have financial counsellors, and to contact us early so that we can help to sit down and to manage those bills. We have good relationships with people who are in the utilities industry, and sometimes it can be managed in a real way.
Have you found, and I'm sure speaking on behalf of other charities as well, that generally donations are down, people aren't able to give as much, and that people and charities are struggling to meet the needs out there of, you know, providing food and accommodation?
Look, I could make the, as you expect, speech and say, you know, obviously we're having to do more and more with less and less. That's the reality. But I think that I'd answer that in two ways. I think certainly the emergency help that is being given and has had to be given this year in Queensland, New Zealand and Japan is a great pressure on money. So those people who might just make a one-off gift might choose to give it in that direction, and we'd understand that. I don't think that charities would say that they're losing their essential givers, but the pressure is certainly on to raise money, and there's only so much you can raise, you know. We're all in the same pot, as it were, trying to get money, and we're asking for money from people who are already stressed. That's half the difficulty.
What's the way forward? It's a bit of a struggle here, because I can't see that, especially with the uncertainty in the regions where we get our oil from and so forth, I can't see petrol dropping anytime soon. Same with food prices. We've got a lot of recovery to do in our own country before that all comes down. What's the future looking like here? I'm not too sure.
Big strap line, and that is that we must live within our expectations. That reality is there. It's a tough one. We mustn't overstretch ourselves. Go for mortgages that we can't afford, or rentals that are difficult. Because in a city like Sydney, for example, the rental issue is a big one, because the rental properties are becoming less available. I'm certainly quite convinced that at New South Wales and at the Commonwealth, we need to build more affordable housing and make housing available in a social stock for people who have little. That's very important. Otherwise, people are going to slip into the homelessness bracket, and that's really one of the worst of all. People getting stuck in emergency accommodation who can't get into the private rental market is a real one. And as a Christian charity, we take very, very seriously trying to help people to manage their situations and hold families together. We have a real objective that we try to keep families together and not allow them to be separated by these tough calls that are going on at the moment.
Is there a tip or two you can leave us with, Keith, where we can make a good start?
Look, what we can do is say that on our website at wesleymission.org.au, there are some that very helpful financial planners in there, which help people to look carefully about what they can do. If they get onto the website, navigate it round and play around on it, you'll see that there is a financial planner that enables people to look at their budget, look what's possible. perhaps all of us encourage each other to live a little bit more simply. This is really a very strong Christian theme, isn't it? Having a simpler lifestyle. It's not a popular theme always, unfortunately, because in our hypey world, we get dragged into thinking bigger and bigger, whereas it might well be that what God is saying to us in these days is be a bit simpler.
Like it. Thank you so much. Wesleymission.org.au is that website. Keith Garner from Wesley Mission, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure to talk to you as always.
Eighteen past seven. Yeah, Hope 103.2. I mean, it's something we probably don't want to do, but the idea of living simpler would solve a few
problems.
Well,
luxuries have become necessities these days, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you mean I have to live without the lettuce this, plasma, the other. You know,
Yeah. All right. Have a look at that website. Financial planners, they're everywhere too. There's stacks of different options. The government even has one too. They've even put one together. But there's a website you've been given straight away. So
we'll get the details happening up on our Facebook page too, Aaron and Helen. And maybe there's something that you've discovered that has been a wonderful breakthrough for your family and has made a real difference to the budget for you. We'd love to hear about it. 1300 40 20 20. Bruce has called from Parramatta. You well, Bruce?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Excellent. So have you found some kind of tip that really works for your family?
Just on general, I do a lot of Feeds of the Homeless in the Parramatta area, and there's a lot of food for life stores around. They're small little outlets that usually run by some of the Baptist churches in like various areas of New South Wales and other states, and they supply near to out of date food, which you can obtain really, really cheap.
Like
you get about 4 or 5 bags for like $10 or $15 or something.
And the quality's still there, good enough for your family, but you don't have to pay quite as much.
Yep, exactly. But it needs to be more and more and more, as probably millions of dollars worth goes into the dips, which is probably not out of date from all the major supermarkets, and that just needs to be tapped into and put back out into the community.
Peter, you've got a suggestion for us.
Yes, a good suggestion is to form a food co-op. You can do it. I know you can do it with fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
And because there's one in our church, everybody they just pull in about $30 or $40 each, and in turn somebody goes over to the market, and they just buy a whole heap of fruit and vegetables from the market. They come back and they divvy it up, and everybody wins out of it.
Wow. So how often do you make the trip?
I probably do it once a month, once every 5 weeks, depending on how many people are involved in it.
Carmen, you've got a tip for us. What's a way you found to save some cash?
There are websites out there. Sometimes they're on a current affair. There's a Simply Savings website. There's home cleaning, entertainment, holidays, the storage of fruit and vegetables so they last longer, banking, entertainment, cleaning, just a whole range of products. And they have discounts. They have bargain shopping, internet sites for buying things online, just like hundreds of tips.
That's cool. I mean, basically, just search the web and you find lots of great tips there. I mean, that's good advice, isn't it?
It is.
Just when you think you've heard it all, something else comes out. In the news today, we're hearing that you can actually get your school kids' photos touched up. When they get the shot with the speckledy blue background, you can pay a little extra and get any skin blemishes fixed or maybe lighten their teeth, all kinds of crazy things. Now, social commentator Melinda Tankard-Reist, I guess you've got a pretty strong opinion on that?
My concern, Helen, is that this contributes to the idea that young people just cannot be good enough. They're not good enough as they are. They have to try to reach these unattainable levels of perfection. They need to be airbrushed to provide the perfect picture. And I just wonder, you know, where is it going to end? And another issue is that the fact that a school photographing outfit would offer airbrushing as part of the total school package sort of gives it another level of endorsement, sort of gives it the imprimatur of the school, and I'm concerned that this will play into already existing body image problems, negative views about one's physical self.
Can I come clean with you on something?
Sure.
We've just had some photos taken at work.
Yes.
I'm a coffee drinker. I can't say my teeth look fabulous the way they've come up in the photos. I'd love to get them a little bit digitally whitened before they get blown up and stuck on a banner or something. Mm. What do you reckon about that? Is it different?
Well, look, some people would say, well, you know, there are other things you can do to help that before we get to the airbrushing stage. And my concern is where does that end? For you, it might be your teeth. For someone else, it might be, you know, their ears or their nose or some uneven skin tone. Or then you end up looking at, you know, are my breasts big enough or not? Do I need to be, you know, more sort of physically out there, physically attractive for the camera? And so I suppose my concern is where does this lead us? Where does it take us? And will we actually end up with any real photographs of anyone at all? If you saw the Sunrise piece I just did, they showed a new camera which actually corrects everything for you. So it does it on the spot. You tell it what you want it to do, and as soon as it takes the picture, it does the adjustments itself. So it will whiten your teeth. It will add makeup as well.
Wow.
And the after photos actually look far worse than the before, in my opinion. They almost look like, you know, a parody of a real person because it's just so overdone. The teeth are dazzlingly white. You know, you need to wear sunglasses just to look at them. The blush on the cheeks is sort of obscenely pink. And again, it's not so much the isolated one-off examples here and there. It's sort of the total picture and where it takes us, and the fact that it's contributing to us already feeling bad about ourselves. Women already hate themselves. They already have a bad view of their bodies and their selves, and I just fear that this plays into those already existing issues.
See, my year 9, 15-year-old school photo, absolutely zitted like you couldn't believe. And you sort of, I'd rather the photo probably wasn't taken. Now, an option to Photoshop, you think, well, clean it up. You'd look back. It's an embarrassing photo to go back to. But the thing is, that is real. Everyone, the majority of people, when they are teenagers, get zits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a need for us at this level, as a teenager, even younger, we look awkward. As we're teenagers, our nose is a little bit larger. That's the way it is, because that's how we grow. That's what the hormones do. Our faces break out with pimples. It adjusts. There's a need for us to be real about who we are in all of this, isn't it?
The thing with the school photos is that it does document chronologically the changes we grow through physically, emotionally, social. It's, you know, it's a sort of a historic record, and it changes, and things do get better. And I suppose what concerns me, say, is if some parents choose to spend the extra money on photoshopping their kids, and other parents choose not to, then do the kids with the pimples feel even worse than they might already do? Because, you know, everyone else has had this photoshopping and I haven't, so it makes them stand out even more. Whereas being seen as this is just a normal part of the teenage years and of growing up. So some kids may feel even more isolated if their parents can't afford this technology.
Interesting. It's almost like we're getting to the point where we have avatars instead of real representations of ourselves. We've got this other cyberspace digital version of ourselves that we project.
Well, that's correct. I mean, girls are doing this already on Facebook, MySpace, Bebo and other social networking sites. They're putting out a representation of themselves, which is altered, which is different, which is something else. And that's my concern, that this is one more technology that enables them to look and be something that they are not really. I'm not just looking at this school photo issue in isolation. It's not that. It's the total picture, the total wallpapering of the cultural spaces and the cultural messages, the scripts that kids get about what is worthwhile and what isn't. And that message is that it is all about your look, your physical perfection, your ability to be attractive, particularly sexually attractive. So that's what concerns me.
Melinda, as per usual, it is great to talk to you, and I appreciate that this having to examine these issues and go into it must be of great personal cost to you. It's a draining thing, and you hear some of the day after day latest crazes we're pushing onto our kids. We really appreciate the cost this is to you.
Oh, that's really kind of you to say. On that note, I have a book deadline for book number 4, which is on the harms of pornography. It's called Big Porn Inc. Exposing the Harms of the Global Porn Industry. And I can tell you there is definitely a cost to having worked on that book. And I'm really looking forward to it being over and done with.